And this is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Brock Huard and Dave Wyman in here for Dory Monson. And Dory claims that those hour number two things that he does, that no one is the same. He claims that every day that he's done the show, he's done something
really
different. Yeah.
That's his claim, huh?
First up, yeah, that's his claim to fame. That's all he's got. First up on the Fastest 15, Brock, you love this poem by Dave Niehaus. We got spring. You're going down to spring training next week.
Yep.
I'm going the week after that. The Mariners, Vegas has set their over-under at 70. We did a time capsule prediction on our show.
Yes.
Do you know how many wins I predicted? You heard this?
Like 92.
90. 90 wins. I'm going to be a genius.
Bless your heart.
When this happens, but probably not going to happen.
Probably not.
But, you know, every year you start to get excited about the team. And I don't know about you, Brock. Every year I've, like, bought in and, like, okay, I can't wait to see these young kids. But, man, Dave Niehaus with his poem that he read, I don't know how many years ago, still lives on in this city.
Someone once said, you don't grip a baseball. A baseball grips you. It fills our days and brightens our nights. Over the course of a season and the span of a lifetime. We share a hope, drama, and joy. It brings us all closer together, 9 innings at a time. It's the game we live. It's the game we love. Welcome back, baseball. Welcome back.
Everybody loves Dave Niehaus. The call on Ichiro, where he throws out, I can't remember the runner, from right field, and he's like, he's D-O-A. I can't get enough of Dave Niehaus. You know, Brock, this is an older person sport. Is it not? And, you know, and here's what I said this the other day on our show. I got some people were laughing at me, but I'm like, look, baseball doesn't need to change to try to attract younger people. You know why? Because people are always getting older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of grow into baseball. I mean, I feel like the older I've gotten, the more I've appreciated. And they always freak out and they look around and go, oh, my gosh, there's all these older people watching baseball. But there's an endless supply of people getting...
Because we're all going to get older.
Getting older.
Yeah, and we all like our routines when we get a little older.
Yeah, so let's not panic and try to change all of the rules and everything like that. So I just think baseball's fine the way it is.
Yeah, and the reason old Dave Niehaus you hear right there is today is the actual start, spring training game number one. It was supposed to start today, in fact, but it was rained out. So the rain, the snow, the cold, all that nasty wintry mix pushed south, and actually down in Arizona, it's been miserable. You're right. We're going to go there next week. It's going to be beautiful. By the time you get there in 2 weeks to do your guys' show in the afternoon, it'll be beautiful. But today, hope springs eternal. That's why every year, Dave, you buy in, because it's true in baseball. Hope springs eternal, and I don't think anybody was any better at painting those pictures and painting that hope than one of Dory Monson's favorites and my favorite, and that was Dave Niehaus.
Yeah. Yeah, I like talking to Rick Riz about him. Rick's my favorite. I wasn't really listening to baseball as much when Niehaus, but I just hear all of his
because you were
calls.
Young, Dave.
Yeah, exactly.
Back when you were young, you were much more into football and basketball, but now you're getting older.
Yeah, and Rick Riz is my guy, man. I love listening to Rick.
And everybody's going to get older, and as you get older, you're going to start to love
like
baseball.
I said, it's an endless supply. People are not going to stop getting older, Major League Baseball. So you don't need to change it and make it some young person's game with selfies and crap like that. Brock, the one storyline I'm actually dreading, Felix.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way? I feel uncomfortable about this because I've said I don't think he's going to be on the team at the end of the year. I don't think he's going to make the starting lineup. He doesn't want to go to the bullpen. We asked Jerry DePoto about him becoming a bullpen or closer type of guy, and he goes, I don't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
So where does Felix go? What happens?
Well, back to your comparison there of us all getting older, father time wins all the time in sports. And father time has been beating up Felix the last few years, and it is hard to watch. It's hard to watch the king, who just necessarily hasn't evolved his game either. I mean, what made him the king and made him one of the greats and probably the greatest pitcher in the history of this franchise was just that bulldog mentality that he was not going to change, that King's Court was built out there that loved him, that adored him. And I think of any Mariner, you're right. This has been hard to watch. Hard to watch his body break down, hard to watch his performance break down to a degree. And this will probably be the last of it. Is this a contract year for him where he's got to prove that he's got anything left, or he'll finish his career somewhere?
Well, and he's also got to prove whether or not he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And they talked to him about that a few years ago. Talked to Ryan Divish the other day. And so our question last year was, you know, adapt. His adaption to his age, is it that he couldn't or that he wouldn't?
Yeah.
And when we talked to Divish, he said it's more that he should have started doing that a couple of years ago. So it's kind of a sad story, but we'll see. Maybe Felix pulls something out of his hat. And
if he does, the Mariners win 90 games.
There we go.
There you go. As Dave Wyman predicted. Can we stick to baseball here, Dave? Yeah. I think you guys played this sound maybe yesterday on your show. It was Tim Tebow. You guys, Nicole, you guys have been sitting on this a little bit, right? You haven't played it this week. This is some of my favorite sound. Tim Tebow's a guy that can be every once in a while just a little bit polarizing in today's culture. I happen to love a lot of what he's had to say through the years. Been a big supporter of his. I don't know if I've ever heard in about 90 seconds Tim Tebow speak some wisdom and some perspective that really nobody could take apart. You know, he usually gets criticized for just about everything that he says and every stance that he has. Hard to nitpick any of this messaging as he was at New York Mets. He's in their major league camp trying to make their major league roster. Here was Tim Tebow over the weekend, I think, with a message for really all of us.
It's really trying to keep perspective and not letting other people define you, because they sure do want to. And I try to encourage young people all the time to not let the world or other people, outside sources, define you, because you're always going to have critics and naysayers and people that are going to tell you that you won't, that you can't, that you shouldn't. Most of those people are the people that didn't, that wouldn't, that couldn't. And don't be defined by outside sources. You go after your dreams. Succeeding or failing is not making it to the bigs, or it's not necessarily fulfilling that. It's having to not live with regret because I didn't try. And, you know, I just feel for all the young people out there that don't go after something because they're so afraid of failing, that you're going to live with a lot more regret than you would have if you tried and you failed. And I'm very passionate about that. And I think the reason that a lot of people don't go after things is because how much you will be criticized, and what if I fall flat on my face? And so fear and doubt and all these things creep in. And I just don't believe that's the healthiest way to live. I don't want to have to live with fear or doubt every day. And, you know, regardless of what everyone here says about me, it doesn't define me. And I'm so grateful that doesn't define me. There's one thing that defines me, and that's what God says about me. And besides that, I get to go live out my dreams and try to help as many people along the way as possible.
Not letting others define you. I think that's a message that's probably both on the right and the left. Do not let other folks define you, and do not attempt something because you're so fearful of what everybody's going to say.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing I worry about with kids now, because, you know, we've got camera phones, and, you know, you see these things on the internet, these lists of epic fails, mm-hmm. and then they even have it in sports, and I'm like, hey, listen, man, that guy is out there trying, and he's out there at least doing something. And you see a lot of kids that sit on the sidelines and just criticize, and the reason why they do that is because they're afraid to go out and do it themselves, because they're afraid of all the criticism and everything. And that's something that Tim Tebow's talking about there, that, you know, don't let people define you, and go out and let it all hang out there, and don't be afraid to fail. That's the one thing, you know, that, you know, I try to give a message. And Brock, your football camp was so awesome this last year. I just loved the message, everything that you had about that. It allowed us all to talk to the kids about, you know, being vulnerable and, you know, what it means. You mentioned earlier the masculinity and things like that. It's about helping other people.
Yep.
It's about encouraging other people. And so, you know, and I know this might sound kind of touchy-feely right now for you and I, but no, I think that's what it's about. And so if you can start to get that message, but I think it's harder and harder now because of all of the access that you have to,
it's all out there.
You know, these, you know, I've got a, you know, something I took a picture of on my camera that's out there, that, you know, and everybody's afraid that they're going to get clowned and look bad and be one of these guys that ends up on YouTube.
So this was, I believe, Sunday. It was over the weekend that Tebow had this press conference, and you can imagine the whole room full of lots of that New York media. Many that just scoffed at him for trying baseball. I mean, what are you doing? Like, you failed in football. You're a failure. You're a fail of a quarterback. Why are you going to fail in baseball? And I love that he's just like continued to attack it. He was a double A All-Star. He got invited to Major League Camp. He's a long shot to make the Major League still, but he's just not going to back down. And, you know, he's not going to listen to all those that scoff him. It was fascinating. So that came out Sunday. And Sunday night, we had a bunch of families at our house for a cool little get-together. And we kind of watched video and we talked. And it was kind of a community group deal. And the lesson was on basically the power of words. And the power of just saying positive and building positive thought and positive encouragement versus tearing down negative. And when you're raising teenagers today, it's I'm trying to navigate that world. And Dave,
good luck with that.
Yeah, you've been there. Yeah, you've had to do that as well. And just the power of those words. And in this group here, we got to thinking, and we had all sorts of different ages, different people, different spectrums. And it was like, do you remember those that have really built into you in a positive way? Can you remember a positive, or do you remember much more of the negative?
I'm all positive.
You do?
I look back on my life, and I don't have regrets. I don't think about the negative things that happen. I think about the positive
things. What's the most positive thing someone has said to you? That's interesting because you are different than this entire group. We had a bunch of all different ages, and they're like, I don't remember. I do remember getting told this, and I remember getting told that, and I remember the popular girl in eighth grade telling me I look like the Beast from Beauty and the Beast. Like 30 years later, I still remember that. Like, I still remember those.
She meant it in modern terms. Brock, you're a beast.
No, not at all.
When he's a prince.
I was telling the story on my sports radio side. I remember going into the gym at Sumner High School and their student body chanting Howard the Duck. Howard the Duck. Like Howard the Duck, the movie was out at the time because I have big old lips. Right? So they called me Howard the Duck. And I kind of like that. I didn't mind it from an athletic deal. Like, I'm going to rip you guys apart limb from limb.
Yeah. Like a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, like athletically, I didn't necessarily mind that. But I will never, to the day I die, forget some of just that tearing down.
Oh, my God.
And now amplify it 1,000-fold with these devices.
Yeah. Here's the one thing I'd say, though. That there's a certain amount of toughness that things that you had to go through. Like, you know, they talk about bullying. I got bullied when I was younger. And then, you know, I got to a point where I wouldn't trade that in. I had something called cystic acne all over my shoulders, and I'd have people screaming at me when I had to play basketball, you know, talking about zits and, hey, you know, that's disgusting, and screaming and yelling at me in a gym. I'm 16 years old, you know, having to wear a stupid tank top and short shorts. And, I mean, I wouldn't trade that. That helped me. I think it made me who I am. So I think, you know, that's... There is a certain amount, like, we don't want to sit there and baby-proof the world, but, you know, you asked me who's the most encouraging person in my life is my mom. I remember having a bad day, and I remember this very specifically. It's probably in 1975, and she said, there's nobody like you, and you're never going to have this day back again. So go out and make it special, and yeah, my mom, and then, you know, some of my coaches. Of course, I had coaches scream and yell at me, too.
Sure.
But, you know, those are the kinds of things that I think are done out of love, you know. So.
Gosh, I remember my mom coming in junior high, like eighth grade, pulling me out of class. Had some tough days. Likewise, had some acne and everything else. Had people, like, calling me the Beast, and she could tell. And she was a teacher, and she came over to our school. Same deal, like around lunchtime. She, like, pulled me aside, and it's basically the same thing. Now, she was kind of cute. She's like, well, if they're making fun of your zits, they can't even see your zits. Like, you're so much taller than them anyway. Like, the reality of them actually. So she's trying to, like, paint the picture in a prettier way. Mm-hmm. But it's that same level of encouragement. And to me, that's what I take from Tim Tebow right there. Don't listen to all the hate. You're going to have so many. Dave, if you and I looked at nothing but this text toy over the course of a show and our shows, or if I looked at nothing but Twitter while I'm doing a broadcast, and you're the worst and you're the horrible and all that naysayer, if that is what you are just carrying around with you, you will not grow into what you're built to be.
Right.
And I think that's the message I hear so clearly from Tim. That's why I love it. That's why at the camps and when you go out and you just try to empower kids, like, just there's going to be so much of that haterade. You know, just drink the Gatorade, drink the positive stuff, drink and surround yourself like you did with people that built positive messages into you.
Yeah, we got to put some limits on the hater thing, though, because hater has become anybody that disagrees with you.
True.
You know, and so there's a limit on that. But yeah, but it's much more difficult for, you know, for kids these days, with all of that exposure, we only heard it like in a gym full of people. You weren't getting bombarded with it. So I think it is more difficult for the kids. But, you know, the other thing is, I am not a fan of baby-proofing the world. You know, I used to tell my kids probably told them this more than anything else. I said, the world does not work around you. You have to work around the world. That's the way it is. That's the harsh reality. And sometimes you have to deliver that tough message to your kids. You want to protect them. You want to go everywhere. And, you know, anybody says anything about your kids, you want to kill them, right?
Yep.
But, you know, you have to allow them to take care of themselves. And I think that's where that coming from a big – have you seen Tim Tebow lately? I mean, he looks like a monster. Is he almost too muscle-bound to swing a bat?
Probably.
Oh, my God. He's huge, strong guy, good-looking guy.
Isn't that kind of
successful.
The theme of Dory's show, though, Nicole? Like, don't baby-proof the world? Isn't that kind of, Sean, isn't that kind of Dory's show in essence?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's kind of what we're talking about with this bill, with the tattooing of the eyes, right? All right, numbnuts. You want to get your eyeball tattooed? Go ahead.
There it is.
Suffer the consequences.
Tell 122 strong.
Yeah. So anyway, I just to me that goes. You know, there's too far. Like we were talking about the masculinity and the limits on that. But you know, you don't want to go too far the other way too. But you know, I love encouraging kids and being. And your camp was awesome, Brock. I went and talked to Dave Pridemore, everybody, because Brock had us give out like footballs and towels to anybody who was like the most encouraging, you know, and there was a couple of kids there that were, you know, clapping the younger guys on and, you know, and everybody. And there wasn't this, you know, every once in a while in those camps, you get the kids that are like, I'm going to crush this guy and everything. It wasn't too far one way, but it was about, look, this isn't about you. It's about other people, and it's about unselfishness. And I thought that was a great lesson, because you're not going to sit there and develop a professional quarterback at your camp, but you know you can teach kids what's the best way to do things. And I love the message that you have.
Well, can I give one last quick message? I know we got to run here, and we didn't get to a few of these stories, which I'm sure Dory.
We've
got plenty of time to do so. One last little bit of encouragement along that lines, because it was in the lesson that we had in this group, and that was, if you've got positive thought, share it with somebody. Yeah. And how many times do you find yourself in your day where you think something positive about somebody or encouraging, you're just like,
yeah.
You know, you just don't
you
really
know what, Brock?
Sure.
Let me tell you something. You don't look like a duck at all. How's
well,
that?
Well, Grandma Peg told me, she's like, one day you'll grow into those features. One day you'll grow into those lips, and they won't be calling you Heward the Duck anymore.
Your eyes are a little wide apart.
There's no question about that. You know what, Dave? I'm glad you had that surgery where your eye doesn't tuck into the corner of your face anymore. I'm really proud of that. Sean, I'm really glad you're voicing everything, like on every station in this building, buddy. You're going to become a star.
Sean's
I told you
time.
That.
Thanks, Brock. Thanks.
Yeah, there's one story, a tragic story. There's no other way to kind of spin this ahead, but a tragic story last night of one of the most famous and best basketball coaches collegiately on planet Earth, and just a tragic story last night that he endured, and I don't think he's alone in just some of the challenges of driving late at night. And in a very unfortunate story, I think some of us may not share in the tragedy of it, but we've been awfully close to it. I know I have. We'll get to that story next year on the Dory Monson Show, right here on 97.3 Cairo FM. Brock, you're Dave Wyman here, filling in for our buddy Dory Monson, who is
talking
out
heads.
Today. Two sports guys trying to handle a little bit of news on 97.3 Cairo FM. Dave, I had a consultant tell Salk and I early in our career, he said, do you want to know when your show is going to be going good? Like, if you want a little tell, if your show's ever going to go good, or you're ever going to gain any momentum, you're going to have this show sheet like we have in front of us that the esteemed producer Nicole puts together in amazing ways for Dory every day. And on that show sheet, if you don't get to stories, that's actually a good thing. That means the show is like moving along, and based on the trees that are killed for Dory's, you know, stories after stories stories, like there's a ton that you never get to. And there's a bunch we haven't gotten to, but there's two in particular I think we have to over the next half hour. And the first is what I teased earlier, and that is some really tragic news that comes out of the basketball world last night. A Syracuse coach, a legendary coach, a guy by the name of Jim Boeheim, last night, on his way home, a huge win for them in the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, New York, and on his way home after midnight, gets into a collision, hits a pedestrian on the interstate, and kills a 50-year-old man. And I have thought to myself the number of times, I don't know how late you're out driving at times. My schedule, especially in the fall, is nuts. And I'll come home, and there have been two or three times where I'll be on the road. And not necessarily, this was on the interstate there in Syracuse. So this poor gentleman that passed away, his car had broken down, and he was in the middle of the interstate. Had gotten out at night after midnight and got struck and killed by Jim Boeheim. But Dave, the number of times that I'm driving home late at night, and man, I guess this is a PSA, that just don't mess with your radio or phone while you're driving at night. And Jim Boeheim did not, by all accounts, pass tests. He's working with authorities. But I've come home, and you and I live out in Redmond, up on 202, which has absolutely no like sides whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And there could be people like biking at night and on the roads and walking, and just the number of times that I've just been like, man, I better not, you know, better not fiddle with any radio or any phone, and just the white knuckle as I get out of the way, like, oh, you know, you just have to be so careful in those situations.
I wonder why the guy was out.
Car broke down, the story says. Yeah, his car had broken down.
I'm very comfortable being on like high alert at all times and not trusting anybody.
Yep.
Anybody. And, you know, that's the thing. I wonder if just, and this is a tragic story. And really, I mean, obviously, if for the man who was killed, his family, everything, but for Boeheim as well, because, I mean, he's got to live with that with the rest.
For the rest of your life.
I saw a lot of people on the snowy roads that were just walking right along the side,
correct,
not facing traffic, walking away from it. If somebody goes into a slide, you're going to get taken out. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that was the case here. But I find that our sense of self-preservation is getting thinner and thinner.
Yeah.
Because, and to be clear, I think that this man was in a car and in a collision with three other people. So there was other people in the car that he had broken down, but it had hit the side
just
or
awful.
Something. So it was an accident. So maybe he was, you know, a little shaken up from that, in shock, something along those lines.
Not good. Not the way you want
it. Anyway, it's terrible. And, you know, we've had a couple of close calls driving over to our place in Winthrop. I hit a deer. It wasn't just a deer. It was like two adult deers and a baby deer.
Mm-hmm. All three of them?
No, I didn't hit all three of them, but
baby.
I had to swerve to the right because there's oncoming traffic. And my daughter was in, couldn't have been a worse crowd, my wife and daughter, who are both huge animal lovers. And, you know, and I felt terrible. And, you know, finally I was like, I tried to do everything I can. You guys have to stop crying. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it was just a split second thing. And I chose wisely because I don't want to go into oncoming traffic. But, it's a terrible feeling. And for him, I mean, man, that's just got to be weighing heavy on Jim Boeheim's mind. I feel bad for him.
So that was up in Syracuse, New York, a little further south. It was one of the great rivalries. I was listening to your show yesterday afternoon. The North Carolina-Duke basketball game. One of the great rivalries in all of sport.
$2,700 ticket.
Incredible.
To get in there.
Ken Griffey Jr. was there at this game. It was
Barack
in Cameron
Obama
Indoor Stadium. Barack Obama, Sam, we played earlier. He was there. And they were all there to watch one of the incredible young talents in really all of sport. Kid's name is Zion Williamson. If you've never watched Duke basketball, well, hopefully he comes back from an injury last night. He was on the court. He was playing in the game when 36 seconds into a packed house, this happened.
Just 30 seconds into the game, a second look for Duke, and here's Zion, his first touch. Fell down at the free throw line. He's grabbing at his right and left knee as the other way goes Johnson to lay it in. And a scary moment here at the outset as now Zion Williamson reaches down to his left ankle. His shoe is off. It looks like he stepped through his shoe, John. Like the seam on the shoe broke, his foot came through the shoe.
Yeah, you heard Lisa Brooks in our news update talk about Nike. Were you watching this at all? Did you see the highlights of this yet?
Yep.
I was watching it live. Molly and I were watching it. She was on the couch. We were watching it. And I think I rewound it back like five different times. His shoe, he's 6'8". He's 280 pounds. He's got a 42-plus inch vertical. You're just not supposed to have some of the force that this guy, young athlete, can create. He's a phenom. His shoe exploded. Mm-hmm. His Nike shoe, literally, as he planted, it was his other leg that got kind of caught behind him that got hurt. His Nike shoe just absolutely tore apart and exploded on the scene. And I don't know which way this story goes. There's about eight different ways that are fascinating to me, Dave. The Nike part of it, you know, that's a bad night for Nike. That's unfortunate for them. But to me, the response out of this has been, man, don't play again. Hey, Zion, perfect example. you shouldn't be playing anyway. Don't you dare go back on that court, Zion, over the next few weeks. Just let that be a lesson, as it looks like you staved off a major injury and just tweaked your knee. You shouldn't be playing, and you better protect yourself for the NBA level. A number of NBA voices, a number of professional voices, a number of our peers in the media industry have been very loud and clear to this 18-year-old phenom. I hope that was a lesson that you now protect yourself.
Yeah, it's going to get more and more complicated with the amount of money for these players. I mean, they're huge franchises. And so taking risk, I don't know where this has gone, because it's a shame. I love – what do you bet that
– You love college basketball. Everyone in that building loves college basketball.
This kid doesn't – he's not going to play anymore, right? I mean, this kid is a really special talent. I mean, a freshman – I saw him block a shot the other day where he didn't really – run over and gather. He just kind of exploded off of a point on the court, and there's no way his
LeBron
vertical
James.
There's no way his vertical's 42 inches. It's got to be like 50. It's ridiculous how talented this guy is. Here's the other thing too, before we move on from the issue. How impressive was that? He planted so hard.
Yes.
He just busted right through that shoe and shredded. I don't remember an athlete doing that since Paul Moyer did it at Dory's house. Remember when Paul blew a shoe out?
Oh, do I? That was in January of 2015 on the Dory Monson Sport Court. Now, granted, some old, like, lawn mowing shoes he was wearing. They were already tattered to begin with.
Right. But, I mean, that was an impressive feat. It was incredible. So, yeah, but I'm afraid that's going to come up, because we've gone through this in college football with the bowl games. But I just think you can't play scared. You cannot play, especially football, you can't play scared. If you're playing to not get hurt and you're avoiding things because you don't want to get hurt. Now, yeah. I'm not talking about like skiing and playing pickup basketball in the off season for football players or anything, because those put you in danger, you know, riding motorcycles or whatever. But, yeah, for a basketball player and a football player, that's what you do, man. You got to go play. So I'm afraid where that's going.
Yeah, there's opinion on both sides. Can I get to that? Isaiah Thomas, former Husky great, he's in the rafters. His jersey was retired last year. Isaiah Thomas, very vocal last night. LeBron James, a couple weeks ago, was at Zion's game in Virginia when he didn't get hurt. He had some opinion on it. Where is it going? I'd like to weigh in on that just a little bit. If Zion was your kid, all right, Dave, if he was your son, if he was at Duke wrapping up his career, going to be the future number one pick, what would you advise Zion Williamson? I want to hear your answer on that next, as we'll continue on here on the Dory Monson Show. 97.3 Cairo FM. Rock, you're Dave Wyman filling in on the Dory Monson Show. You can text the online Trading Academy text line, as you've been doing all show long, 98973. Day before we went to break, I posed a question to you. If Zion Williamson was your own kid, all right, and you had this 6'8", 280-pound athlete like Paul Moyer, you know, we were both there when Paul blew through his shoe on Dory's court, and, you know, he was that kind of talent, that kind of athlete, what would you advise him?
Also an impressive
feat
of athleticism.
No, right? No question about it.
Isaiah, ever tell you about the time Brock ever stopped doing that?
My bad.
Time that Paul Moyer slipped and fell at the bowling alley?
No, did he really?
It was the hardest I ever laughed. Paul likes me telling this story, and I think he's listening right now.
Oh, I bet he does.
And I've told it like 15 times because I can't get enough of it. We were at a bowling alley, us and our wives, and I've told this on AM, FM, anybody that'll listen.
Sure,
I'll tell
KTTH,
the Paul Moyer story. Paul's a very proud guy.
NPR,
He's a good athlete.
Yes.
He's a sportsman.
Yep.
Very competitive. We were, you know, rolling, like you and I at the Super Bowl, where they had the... They had the speedometer, what do you call that, the radar gun?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm seeing who could go through throw it the fastest. And so Paul, getting competitive, he went up, and the ball, for some reason, didn't come off his fingers, and then he got his foot over the line where it's really slippery, and it was like a cartoon where he was like horizontal to like 5 feet in the air, and then just wham, just flat on his back, and then the ball came off and went boom, 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 boom down the... I laughed for... I would say 12 minutes. It was embarrassing. Like, people were coming over going, oh, my God, he's still laughing. And the next day, I felt like I'd done an ab workout. It was, It was one of the funniest.
Well, it wasn't quite that scene in Durham, North Carolina last night.
Blowing out the shoe.
Yes.
Zion Williamson.
Yes, when he blew out his Nike, the whole thing imploded. And he sprained his knee. He did not return to the game. By all accounts, it's not a serious injury. It's a sprained knee. Hopefully he comes back and plays this year. Mm. Former Husky great Isaiah Thomas, Curtis High School kid, tweeted out last night, "Let these kids go straight out of high school. Too much on the line to be messing with college if you got a legit chance to turn pro. One injury can change somebody's career. Zion, sit your bleep down, and we will be ready for you in the big boy league." If Zion Williamson is your son, does he play another minute for Duke basketball?
If he's okay, yeah, why not, man? I mean, you can't play that. You can't play that way. And look, for me, I mean, there wasn't a ton of money on the line, but I remember coming back from a twisted ankle too early in high school to go and play. Now, I didn't have $80 million waiting for me, Brock, but, you know, there was a possible scholarship. I never thought about that. Never. And same thing, you know, I played in all-star games. Played in a bowl game my senior year, and I was going to get drafted. I played in an all-star game. I went to the combine. You can't do things that are built out of fear. You're doing that because you're afraid something else can happen. If you're really going to be that way, then you should just, you know, not play college basketball in the first place.
And just sit out the entire year. Yeah. LeBron James, who, by the way, went straight to the NBA in his day 16, 17 years ago, that rule was not in place. LeBron went and watched Zion play. LeBron was in Washington, D.C., took a half-hour flight because that is the kind of talent this kid is. He's that unique that LeBron James, the king, wants to go watch him. Asked after watching him play in that Virginia game whether or not, because Scottie Pippen, this is from a Sports Illustrated article, Scottie Pippen suggested, like Isaiah Thomas, that Williamson should just sit out the rest of his freshman season. Here was LeBron James' response. He said, "I can relate in a sense of he's been covered since he was in high school like I was, and everybody's trying to compare him to the next this or that. But the best thing I've noticed is he seems like a good kid. He seems like he's got his head on straight," LeBron said. And when they asked him about, you know, guys in our league and people who cover our league, "If I was Zion, I would sit out the rest of the year." He was like, "Why?" This is Zion Williamson from LeBron James. "Why? I'm here to play basketball. I love to play basketball. I'm here at Duke. I'm having fun. These are my friends. I'm having a great time. Why would I sit out?" That's the type of bleep that strikes me. Everybody gets so caught up in the game itself. I look at the intangibles, and he seems like he's got great intangibles, and he seems like a great kid. Go enjoy 8 months at Duke University. You are the biggest of big men on campus. You've already got a shoe deal locked in place. I'm sure you've already been paid a little behind the scenes in college basketball.
What? No.
Everything is in front of you. And go enjoy an arena like last night where the world is coming to watch. You know, LeBron and Kobe Bryant, who both went from high school, have both said, "Yeah, looking back, it'd been pretty cool to be at Duke. It'd been pretty cool to play for Coach K for a year."
I love hearing that from a guy like LeBron James, because you know this, Brock, and both of us not at that level, obviously, of LeBron James, but we played in the NFL. It's about your personality and what kind of kid. You know, when somebody said, and that's my biggest compliment, people go, "Oh, who cares if you like him or not?" I'm like, no, this guy's a good kid. He loves football.
Yep.
You know, it was a mystifying one. You mentioned all that. Mm. Percy Harvin. I remember interviewing Percy Harvin, and I was like, "Hey, people want to keep you out of the kickoff returns because they don't want you to get hurt." He's like, "I'm a football player. I do everything. I block. I do this. I do that." Now, that one was a little bit mystifying, but that's what you want. And what Zion Williamson said, it looks like it's not a serious injury. You expect to see him back?
I do.
That's his attitude. I didn't know that was his attitude. I thought there's no way he would do that, but, man, that makes him much more desirable as a player in the NBA.
And I just want one more hour of the Dory Monson Show. Dave, that's all we want. We just want to play with Sean and Nicole for one more hour of the Dory Monson Show. It's Dave and Brock right here filling in for Dory at 97.3 Cairo FM.